Hey, we got a switcheroo. Wait, have we already done 2 hours? Is it time to go?
It's been that good. It's flown by that fast.
Very fast. This guy, Chip Scoggins, he's busy. You want to tell us, or is it this hush-hush top secret? Chip Scoggins, normally with us at 2:05, but unavailable. Is it cloaked in mystery, or is it something we can talk about?
I appreciate you being flexible, and hopefully we can talk to it about it in a couple weeks, but for now, it's a little secretive, and hopefully I can pull it off, but it could be a cool story if I get it.
Great. Looking forward to it. I'm going to pick up on your column and Suhan's column off a 3-0 team. I'm going to start Suhan because I jotted this down during the game, even in a lot of people. I'm not the only one. If you didn't know anything about previous seasons, right? So you didn't know that Pat Mahomes is the best player on the planet. They had won 2 in a row, and you didn't know what Sam Darnold had done. And you're just judging this team. And I haven't watched everybody play this year. You haven't watched everybody play. But we have a general idea how the other teams are playing, and we've watched every play that this team has played. Are the Minnesota Vikings right now the best team in the National Football League?
I would say you'd be hard-pressed to find a team that is playing better than them right now. It's hard to, you know, what you prefaced it with. It's hard for me to forget about Mahomes.
Yeah, right, but, exactly.
But I will say, I don't know that a team is playing more completely than them right now when you look at all three phases, really. But particularly defensively, they're as good as what's going right now with what Brian Flores has going. And then offensively, the balance that they're showing, you're getting the best version of Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold leads the NFL in touchdown passes. And Aaron Jones has added dimension to Kevin O'Connell's offense that we just haven't seen. And I was talking to Jim about this yesterday when we were in the press box and figured out angles. I don't know that you're going to find a better coach team than what you're finding right now between him and Flores. They are just on top of their game right now. So are they the best team? I would say, I think I'd say it. I don't know that anybody's playing better than them right now.
I agree. You touched on some. Let's even talk special teams briefly.
Yeah.
Riker kicks that field goal from 58. That's pretty far up the upright, by the way.
I know.
That wasn't trickling in. That's 65, 66. Ryan Wright had a great punt during the game when they needed a big punt and just trapped right in the sidelines. They've blocked a punt already. I say this because I want to continue to praise them. But if we were going to nitpick and pick out a weakness so far, what's that? And I get the here's the weakness. Yeah. It's three games, and there are teams that go 3-0 and sometimes finish 5-12. Okay, I know that. Chip knows that. You know that. But I'm trying to just praise them because you're right.
Yeah.
This has been remarkably thorough, what they've done so far.
Well, and the thing is after week one, we all said, okay, the Giants are terrible. Like, we don't really know how good the Vikings are. Well, you beat the team that was in the Super Bowl last year. You just took apart a team that was a playoff team and a lot of people think is one of the premier teams in AFC. So it's not like you're just beating middling teams, like middle-of-the-road teams. I mean, these are upper echelon teams that you are taking care of and doing it in a way that is so impressive, particularly, I think, defensively. When you look at what they did against the Shanahan offense and then what they did against C.J. Stroud, C.J. Stroud looked miserable yesterday.
He did.
Trying to figure out where the pressure was coming from.
Overwhelmed.
Yes. And, you know, I talked to a number of players in the locker room yesterday about the four straight penalties, the three false starts, and then and to a man, they all said, we can't take the credit for that. That's a fan thing. Like Harrison Phillips said, if we were on the road, that wouldn't happen. And that's probably true, but I think just the confusion and the uncertainty that their defense is creating with the offense had a big part of that, too, that guys are just – they're jumpy. They're not sure where the pressure is coming from, if it's going to be a blitz, not going to be a blitz. So I think they just have gotten in the heads of their opponents so far with just this complicated, unconventional scheme that Flores has his players running.
5 sacks each game. They have a combo of power and speed. We've talked speed every single time since they played. I think we need to talk about it again. They are a fast football team. But I also don't want to dismiss the guys they rotate in who are meant to stop the run, because I know the backup for the 49ers, he looks good, by the way. But it isn't just Grenard, who, by the way, has been great every game, was rewarded with sacks, Van Ginkel, Cashman, the secondary. Yeah. Their biggest issue right now is one week Bynum's saying he's bored. Now Gilmore's saying he's bored. But a lot of that happens because of those big monsters they have up front who we never talk about. We talk about Pat Jones. Dallas Turner missed a game. We talk him and Van Ginkel. But those guys are setting the tone. And Harrison Phillips gets more credit yesterday because of the tip, which leads to the first interception, what, 266, 67, whatever it was. But they're also setting the edge to allow that speed to be so evident on the field.
Yeah, and the thing I like about this defense is, particularly with the rush, in years past it was like, okay, Daniil's going to be their guy, but who else? Like, who else can you count on for a consistent pass rush? Now they don't. This team is unselfish, and I think I heard that word a lot yesterday, that they don't really care who's going to be the star at any moment, but they can bring it from different ways, whether it's Van Ginkel or Grenard or Cashman or Harrison Smith coming on blitz. But you're right about their interior. I think Harrison Phillips has been phenomenal the first 3 weeks, and I know O'Connell talked about reducing his reps so they're getting more out of him, and that's when you have depth, you can do that. But you mean a guy like Jonathan Bullard? I saw him chase down a ball carry yesterday for a tackle for loss. Tillery. I mean, Pat Jones has what, 4 sacks? I mean, this is a team that is not reliant on one or two guys to make plays, which I think we saw from this defense in recent years, where if Hunter didn't get a sack, I mean, who else is going to make a big play for you? It feels like they have about 9 guys that can make a play at any point. And I think that's a credit to roster construction from Kwesi and finding guys that fit Flores' defense. But I also think it's Flores trusting his instincts and trusting his players to put them in positions where they are able to make those kind of plays. And so I was telling Suhan yesterday, it's like I almost enjoy watching their defense as much as their offense, just because of the way they move around and the pressures and all the different, signals that they do and jumping in and jumping out. It's kind of comical to watch them try to confuse the offense and then just go make plays.
Well, as you said in your column and also in your previous answer, it's chaotic, it's crazy, but it's organized, right? Because there's a lot of schemes people would go with where people are moving all around, and if you're able to block the guys coming, it'd be, be target practice, right?
Yeah.
It's not that. And again, I'm not saying 17-0. I'm just appraising what has happened so far. And you're right. It is Flores. It is talent. And Kwesi isn't the type of GM where he's Terry Ryan. He's out there scouting. He's not Tim Conley. But as your guy Ben Gessling wrote in the Gamer today, they started 5 free agents yesterday who they signed this offseason to a defense last year, which was pretty good.
Well, and that's it. And you know, we've all taken our turns many times for some of us, making fun of his first draft class and criticizing it and just how poor it was.
Rightfully so.
Well, but when you look at, and I think about just the 3 headliners that he brought in this year, Grenard, Van Ginkel, and Cashman. Van Ginkel was the story of the opener against the Giants with what he did with the pick six. Cashman was their best player on the field last week against San Francisco. And then Grenard had 3 sacks yesterday. And those are just the headliners. I mean, that doesn't go into Gilmore, who's fallen the number one receiver now, and just the other moves that they've made to, Aaron Jones has changed this offense. The quarterback, Sam Darnold. I mean, what he's done for this this season and construct this roster, I think he deserves praise for what, the fast start that they've given, and the guys that they brought in have not just kind of fit in. I mean, they've become the leaders of this team in short order and have made just, amazing impact. So, it's hard not to get carried away when it's 3-0, but to me also, you don't have to apologize for it, but also look who they're beating. I mean, San Francisco and the Texans, these are premier teams that they are doing it against. So I think they have got the NFL's attention now, and they're clearly better than what we all thought they were going to be.
Yeah, I think Harrigan has nailed it. He's looking at me. I think he's requiring your next call. Dear Kwesi, I apologize. Dear Kwesi, sign your friendship. Okay,
well,
let's.
Two things could be true.
Yes.
That draft class is not good, and this free agent class is.
That's so true, because I hate so much of that in sports media now, especially because of, you know, Twitter, where something will happen, it's 6 months later, and they'll bring a tweet up again. You want to respond to that?
Yep.
It was at the time. I mean, by the way, nothing changed. The draft still stunk, but since then, he's made a lot of good moves, and he's also relying a lot on his head coach and his defense coordinator and suiting the players he's drafting to the system, how those guys want to play, as opposed to, I'm the GM, this is exactly how we're going to play, here are the players, you adapt to it. Let's talk Darnold more. We come back. And I got to be honest, I watched the replay of that injury a couple times, because now we have 1,900 doctors online. I'm, Chip, not convinced that we might not get some bad news this afternoon. So I want to talk about that and just talk about his play and how would this town react if it was bad news. It's 18 past 12. We're talking about the best team in football, the Vikings, here on CCO. So, Dave, you want to tell Chip the bumper music theme today? What do we got?
Do you know what big-time musician is celebrating a birthday today?
Big-time musician. Chip Scoggins?
No. Who is that?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Turning 75 today is Bruce Springsteen. So we're not playing music by the boss. We're playing music about bosses.
About bosses.
Yes.
You couldn't just play Bruce at 75.
I thought about it, and then I said, nah, we can do better than that.
Yeah. You also have kind of scoffed at Bruce. You think he's fine. Arrogant thinks he's fine, doesn't think he's amazing.
Yes, he's fine. He's earned his place. But if you take me to a Bruce concert, I'm looking at my watch after about a half an hour and saying, really, I've got three more hours of this?
Who hurt you?
Wow. What's your favorite Bruce song, Chad?
10th Avenue Freeze Up.
Yeah, that's probably number two for me. Mine is Rosalita.
Yeah, Rosalita's great. I love The Rising, too.
Yes.
You know, Badlands. There's a lot of them. Harrigan, you know, apparently.
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
You know he loves?
It's been said before.
Weird Al. He's a big Weird Al.
Stop that right now. That's not funny.
Wait, isn't that Seifert? Isn't Seifert the Weird Al guy?
Seifert loves Weird Al. I think he's actually met him. He's a big Weird Al
fan. He stalked him or something? Or what do you mean?
Sign my accordion.
Wait, was that your Seifert right there? Or was that your Weird Al? I couldn't figure
out. That was my just any generic Weird Al nut fan.
Okay. I am not the Viking fan in my Randy Moss jersey when I say this. I didn't like how Darnold went down, Chip. And I know O'Connell's talking, we think, was it like 1 o'clock? Is that when he's talking this year?
Yes, I think it's 1 on Tuesdays or Mondays.
I am a little wary. No, because we've watched this where guys come in and they play and then they come in the next day. I don't know. And I did see, where do you stand in this? Even speaking of Seifert, I think Seifert retweeted something.
Yeah,
and I saw about 8 other doctors. Carter and I were just talking about doing a bit now, where we actually just would be doctors too, you know, and just decide, get the medical coats and just make up that we're doctors. You know, I get a little worried about that, but I thought he went down in a pretty awkward way.
Well, I can understand the anxiety you feel, because the rookie quarterback walked in when didn't leave a game and said he had a sore knee, and all of a sudden he's out for the season. So I don't know. I mean, Darnold did the press conference after the game. I was in the locker room work, because I didn't hear it. I don't know how he sounded on it, but
he didn't sound that great. I got to be honest.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, anytime you have to get tests on a body part to make sure there's nothing, I mean, I'm sure there's some anxiety about what it's going to say. So hopefully it's not, but it was interesting. I don't know if you could tell on TV, Chad, but when he came back in after the one play, that place erupted, which tells you how much he has endeared himself to this fan base in 3 games.
Yeah.
The fact that he got that kind of response, tells you that they are loving what Sam Darnold's doing right now. So hopefully, you know, hopefully it's nothing that the test this morning. I assume it was this morning.
Yep,
we're clean and we'll
could be nothing.
See what the final
says. We're tweeting out right now that Chip Scoggins is breaking news that the Vikings are signing Tom Brady. Tom Brady leaving the booth. 4 touchdowns yesterday, 8 for the season. I guess we just do have to accept he's going to do a couple just dumb things. Like that that flipped Aaron Jones early. They got so lucky. He had another one, but man, he also had another nailer throw where you're like, God, is that a good throw? It's just he has got serious arm talent. I think you're such a college football fan, you won't forget this, but you know, they won the Rose Bowl. Was that his junior year? I'm trying to remember. Did he play all 4 years at SC? But when they won their bowl game, he was like viewed as the Heisman favorite.
Well, yeah.
The next year. And his last year at SC was mixed. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It was mixed for the how high the bar was. Okay.
Yeah.
But that guy was the third pick in the draft. And a lot of people thought he was going to win the Heisman. This isn't a Case Keenum sort of situation. Well, it is a guy with a lot of talent. So let's say this is a blip, okay? Misses a game. Harrigan raised this in the pre-show email. For the next, Dave said 5 years. I'll go even shorter. For the next 4 years, as you sit here today and we have not watched J.J. McCarthy play a single snap, can we have the debate, or is it just way, way, way too soon? Who would you rather have as your quarterback for the next 4 years, Darnold or McCarthy? Do we want to dive into the deep end already, Chip? Let's dive in. Get your Speedo on. Dive right in. What do you think?
We have lost all control of our emotions here. I say it's way too early. But, you know, we talked about the preseason where the best case scenario for Darnold was to pull a Baker Mayfield from last year where you just had this career resurgence and another team signs you to a massive deal and you get a career reboot. Well, he's well on his way to that. I would say that. And I think you have to – it was interesting this week because I was at O'Connell last week at his – I think it was Wednesday. And I thought he went to great lengths to maybe tamp down the narrative that he is almost like a puppet, you know, pulling this out of Sam Darnold. And he – I think his quote was something like, I want to be abundantly clear on this. This is Sam Darnold doing this, right? So I think he's trying to you know, give him his due for all the work he's done, the decision-making he's doing. And he still has, like you said, a couple of those situations that, where you just like, you know, you cringe a little bit, like where's this going? But he's been completely in control of himself. I think the scheme fits him. I think when he has made a mistake, he's bounced right back and hasn't let it snowball on him. So, you know, for him, I'm glad he's having this success because he's been an easy target for criticism and, you know, just the way he's played, he's probably deserved it.
Let's get to it. He leads him to the NFC Championship game. They lose that. He wants to come back. You can get him for 2 years, $50 million. Kwesi calls you, says, I remember that column you wrote, Chip, in late September where you apologized to me. Do I sign him 2 years, $50
million? No.
No,
I think I turned it over to JJ and
Super Bowl. They win the Super Bowl. Are you signing him?
Well, probably.
I mean, Harrigan, how about this guy's standard? He even said probably.
Yeah.
Then
okay, all right.
I mean, just, how about undefeated Chip? They win every game by 30 points.
They're popping champagne. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure there
no incompletions the rest of the season.
I'm trying to stay back here in reality. I know you're up in Utopia right now.
We're on the mountain, baby. I mean, okay, let's get to...
They would take that problem in a heartbeat.
Yeah, no, they would. They would. Okay, let's get to Twins first and Gophers before we go.
Yeah.
I and you and plenty of people have offered up plenty of criticism for Joe Pollad this year for the $30 million. It was the wrong time to do it. It was absolutely the wrong time to do it. He was honest when he told Jason, but they gotta extend the momentum from last year. And I get that they were losing the Bally's money. I get that other teams did it. Considering though the not so recent history of this team, it was the wrong time to do it. So there's plenty of criticism on the money, and I've offered plenty of it and all for more now. But to me, the defining point of that series in Boston was Pablo throwing up on himself. I mean, come on, you're the stud. You've been very good in the second half. And he gives up a touchdown. That has nothing to do with the payroll. You can mention the payroll, but also say, hey, here's the bell cow against, you know, a 500 Red Sox team, and you're down 6-0 before the third inning is done.
Well, when things are this bad, no one escapes blame, right?
Yeah.
Not the owner, not the manager, not the front office, not your star players, not anybody on the roster. And, yeah, when you're paying a guy to be your ace and you're at the moment of truth, the most important game of the weekend of the season, and he does that, he flopped. I mean, you got to have better than that. And so this has just been an unbelievably miserable stretch.
22 of 33 games they've lost. And how about again, from your paper, I think, Phil, of their 25 hits – in Boston at Fenway, where it's about literally down to the left field to the monster, one non-single. Non-single at Fenway. How is that possible?
Yeah, they're just this team is just completely beaten down. And, you know, it's not just one thing. The lineup, the hitting has just gotten, you know, invisible. I was going to say you only have two starters that you can rely on, and the one just gave up, like you said, a touchdown. I don't know. I mean, I do go back to Polad's comments, and it just set a negative tone, a negative vibe, a negative culture for this year. And they had stretches where they played, I don't know, above their head or what that level was when they
4 months. You know. Best record in baseball. Okay, before we get too far behind, I use manhandled, you use dismantling.
Yeah,
I sent you a text saying scintillating when the first part of the quarter
I
was
didn't
just
respond. I was
you're busy, you know. And then by the way, all of a sudden, the second quarter it turned into entertaining, right? McNamara was making some throws. Obviously, the Gopher quarterback was making some throws, and then it looked like the two of us were in uniform for the Gophers. I mean, it was stunning how bad it was, and it's interesting where Fleck is at with the hardcores, Chip, because if it's any game of significance, it's reached a point where it's a referendum on him and the future. I don't know if it is with everybody else, but we both pay attention enough to the people who just go nuts when they win and are crushed when they lose and will tout PGA's record when they win. But when they lose, you know, your trophy games or games where you got a chance to win the former Big Ten West, it becomes, is he really your guy? He's in a weird spot right now.
Well, I said the tenor changed last year, last November, the way that season fell apart. And I think even the diehards would tell you, and I talked to a lot of them, they love all the things he does about holding players accountable, grades, you know, fine conduct, all that. But they've lost confidence in the coaching part. I mean, they just absolutely have. And what's the record, 2-9 or whatever against Power 4 opponents in the last 11 games? They're just a loss like that demoralizes your fan base because you look at it and it's like they were so overmatched and just quit playing against your biggest rival for 30 minutes. Like, where is this going? Like,
I think that's it.
Where is this going?
You know, and that's the record thing. And again, we're 7 minutes late already, but that was the whole thing. No, it's my fault. Your info is great. That was the whole thing when the diehard Flex would mention the record, and you, me, and others would say, don't forget the Big Ten West factor in this. Yeah. That's not to say Kill was flawless. God, I hear more Kill stuff behind the scenes the further it gets away that's just head shaking. And Mason is better now because Dan's turned him into Mary Poppins. But you can't forget Flex, who he was playing for 5-6 years when you're talking about the record, and they've added 170 more bowl games.
Well, and he would have just more equity or, I think, more patience had they won one of those Big West titles instead of just squandering golden opportunities. They had three of them and didn't come through on any of them. And when you do that, that sets a negative tone, and then you fall apart last year, and then all of a sudden you played really two competent teams this year, and you get beat by both of them. Nobody cares about Rhode Island.
Mm-mm.
And so you're just wondering, like, where's the progress?
I agree. And where's it going? Because right now, with this expanded conference, they look like they're, to me, 10th, 11th, 12th, and that's meaningless to me. All right, man. Good luck with your project. Have a great week. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, brother.
He's the best, and he's just a great human. Chip Scoggins right here on News Talk 830 WCCO.